Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. This special edition celebrates Ohio Goes to the Movies, a signature event of America 250 Ohio. Co-produced by John DeSando and Mary Arena and hosted by Mary Arena, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
And that is music to my ears, as well as John DeSando's. I'm Mary Arena.
And I'm David Weaver.
And this is Double Take. David, we have been on a journey looking at classic films that have some Ohio connection. And this film we're talking about, Coal Miner's Daughter, has brought us home to Columbus, Ohio. Can you tell us why?
Yes, because Coal Miner's Daughter has in the pivotal role of Patsy Cline, a Columbus native, Beverly D'Angelo, who probably is best known to audiences because of the National Lampoon Vacation series, but has done many other wonderful films. And this is my personal favorite. It's one for which she received a Golden Globe nomination for her performance in the role of Patsy Cline. And very impressively to me, she did all of her own singing in this, as did Sissy Spacek in the title role of The Coal Miner's Daughter.
Loretta Lynn actually co-wrote her own biography by the same title, Coal Miner's Daughter, in 1976. And it was made into this 1980 film. It focuses on her life, both being raised in Butcher Holler in Kentucky, a coal mining town, and how she meets her husband, how she becomes the first lady of country music, as she became known. And we really delve into the picture of her life. I thought it was very no holds bar about just what a gritty existence it was in her childhood. She was one of eight children, lived in a home that I assume didn't have indoor plumbing and was really in the hill country of Kentucky. Not a lot of prospects for a young girl of 13 when we meet her.
No, definitely not. And that is exactly what you said. I thought it was wonderful in how it depicted the very hardscrabble background she had, but it was a very common background for all of the people that lived in that particularly tarp part of Kentucky. Like you said, no indoor plumbing. I think at the time that she was probably born, there was no electricity in that part of Kentucky. They were really back in the home, and opportunities very limited. William Sanderson, who has a very small part as a moonshiner, tries to persuade Doolittle, and played wonderfully by Tommy Lee Jones, to join him in the moonshine business. He said, you know, Doo, when you're born in the hills, you have three choices: the coal mine, moonshine, or moving on down the line.
And that comes to fruition when Doo meets Loretta. He's back from World War II. He's come back to his hometown. He notices her, and she certainly notices him. And as he courts her, and they eventually marry, although it's portrayed that they married when she was 13 and he was 21. She was actually 15 in real life, mm-hmm. because it was illegal to get married before, yes, you were 15.
Yes.
But even then, you think about that by today's standards, and you're like, huh, that seems a little young.
Yes.
But he says to her, there's nothing for me here, even though he promised her father when he asked permission to marry her that he would not move her away from home. He also promised not to hit her, which we found out pretty,
yes,
early in the marriage. He was a very charming man and clearly loved her, but had faults. He was an alcoholic. He was violent at times, and he was a womanizer. But they stayed together. And he actually encouraged her singing and bought her her first guitar, which is portrayed in the film. Really was her first manager, getting her record out there and getting it played on radio. And that effort from her first song led her to be invited to the Grand Ole Opry, led her to meeting Patsy Cline, played by Beverly D'Angelo. We really follow her story through stardom, including her nervous breakdown.
Yes, and it's a thing. You see the pressures as they mount. Like you said, Doolittle realizes there's no opportunities in Kentucky, so he goes way out to the opposite end of the coast to Washington State to work in the lumber business. And again, even though they have their own home, but they have like a child every year, it seems.
Yeah,
and
she had
four
children by the time she was 20.
Yes. I can't imagine that. So I was a child at 20 myself. But anyway, it's amazing to see how she just is so reluctant at first, and he really has to push her to perform. She's becomes very adept at playing the guitar, writes her first song, and I admire how it showed that Doolittle really, as you said, was her first manager. He learned as he was going along. He knew nothing about the music business himself.
Right.
The two of them were learning together, total novices in this whole. She is a performer, he is as a promoter and everything. So, and it is sad for me when I see that she does get to the point of success and he says, "You don't need me anymore."
The film clearly follows her journey, but it also, to your point, follows their journey as a couple. All of a sudden, when she's achieving fame and stardom and she's befriended and mentored by Patsy Cline, he's not needed anymore. She starts to operate in circles that are beyond his skill set and what he's able to do for her. But they stay together. And he's there to nurse her back to health and being able to get back on stage, which is where the film ends, with her coming back and performing to a sold-out audience and singing her signature song, Coal Miner's Daughter, which tells the story of her life. The film was recognized at the Academy Awards in 1981 with 7 nominations, including Best Picture, Adapted Screenplay by Tom Rickman, Art Direction, Cinematography, Editing and Sound, but the only win was for Sissy Spacek as Best Actress. And I really feel like her performance is what makes this a classic film.
I definitely feel that. And again, just in awe, not only of her acting performances, but the fact that she did her own singing, as did Beverly D'Angelo. Beverly D'Angelo had sung before and had been in some vocal groups. In fact, she was, as I understood, as I was tracing some, she was in a time when she was living in Canada, was in a group that was part of her, ultimately became the band, which their lead vocalist and drummer, Levon Helm.
Yes.
I kind of was shocked about that because, here was Levon Helm, rated by Rolling Stone magazine as one of the 100 greatest singers of all time. And I thought Levon Helm didn't sing, but he did.
He did.
When they do the Blue Moon of Kentucky, and you think
in the film, he sings that, and that's Levon Helm from the band. This was actually his first film role. And he plays Ted Webb, Loretta's father, and he does a wonderful job in the film. And he actually went on to have a career beyond the band and acting. In Americana Music. He won several awards in Americana Music before throat cancer claimed
indeed.
His life.
Yes, indeed. Again, to focus on our proud Ohioan, Beverly D'Angelo, and the fact that she played Patsy Cline. And one of the things that I feel in the movie that she and Sissy Spacek portrayed so wonderfully was that close relationship between Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline. And I think that part of the reason that Loretta had the problem, she was the shock of losing Patsy Cline, and because that was her best and really her only friend outside of her husband.
That's a very good point. And we'll talk more about Beverly D'Angelo and her career and A Coal Miner's Daughter. Before that, though, what do you recommend to our listeners about Coal Miner's Daughter?
I definitely recommend it. Even if you're not a fan of country music, which I am a fan of country music, but it's just a wonderful story, an inspiring story to me. To me, one of the best biographies of anybody who's been in either show business or specifically the music business.
I agree. I think it's a story that, even though sometimes it's hard to watch because of, especially her husband, Do, as we've said, he had some character flaws of being violent, an alcoholic, and a womanizer. You watch the dynamic of their relationship unfold and you see her come into her own as an equal partner in the marriage and as a very successful entertainer, the first lady of country music, Coal Miner's Daughter. So, David, we're talking about Loretta Lynn's biopic, Coal Miner's Daughter. And you mentioned before in Cinema Classics that the local connection is to Beverly D'Angelo. Tell us a little bit more about her career.
Beverly D'Angelo, born in late 1951, graduate of Upper Arlington High School.
Shout out to the Golden Bears.
Connection to Columbus, Ohio, very prominent. Her father, Gene D'Angelo, who was a mentor to me, I have to say, in my early, because he was the longtime general manager of WBNS 10TV, and Gene was a powerhouse in the community, and he was Beverly's father. Her grandfather, the father of her mother, was Howard Smith, who designed the Ohio Stadium, the Shoe. So many connections to Columbus and to Ohio State through the D'Angelo family. Beverly D'Angelo has a wonderful career, a varied career in films. Like I said, probably best known for the comedic series of films of National Lampoon's
Vacation
series, you know, yeah, which started in 1983,
I think it was.
And as, I think the most recent was maybe 10 or 12 years ago.
Right. There have been five vacation films, and she plays Ellen Griswold in every single one as Chevy Chase's wife. So she could, certainly, I would agree, became best known for the Vacation series. But she actually didn't start out in acting. She, for a while, worked as an illustrator for Hanna-Barbera Studios, and then she worked as a singer. And as you noted, really came into her own up in Canada, where she performed initially with the Rompin' Ronnie Hawkins Band, which was known as the Hawks. The Hawks later became the band known for The Wait and Up on Cripple Creek. And that band, as we talked about before, featured Levon Helm on drums and vocals, and Coal Miner's Daughter was his acting debut as Ted Webb, Loretta's father. I would love to ask her if I would ever have the opportunity, like, did you, because she didn't have any scenes with him in the film, but was she part of him getting that role? How did they interact on set?
Yes.
Did they interact when they were bandmates together? It's just, I would love to know more about that story.
I don't know, because it is fascinating, because Coal Miner's Daughter actually came a couple of years after the documentary film, The Last Waltz, which was about the band and their final performance.
And their last performance in the Bay Area.
Yes, and their last performance. And certainly Levon Helm, if, I don't know if he had any acting training, but he was a natural, and he was just so wonderfully believable, as was Phyllis Boyens, who played Mrs. Webb, the mother. And they just seemed like a real natural couple together, and their hard scrabble life, as I said, you know, and ordering a mail catalog, which of course is one of the tenets of the song Coal Miner's Daughter, you know.
Right.
A mail order catalog, you know, everybody got a new
one
pair
thing,
of shoes.
A new pair of shoes. And the thing that was interesting in the film with the role of Loretta's parents is you see this very hardened life and how it's worn down her parents, who I think were only in their 40s when we see them. And you especially see it on the mother's face. And you can see why Dude doesn't want that kind of life for him and Loretta. And so it's an interesting juxtaposition in the scenes that they're in to ultimately the success that Loretta finds as a singer and songwriter and entertainer.
And he actually says to her that part of the reason was because Doolittle got the chance, because of his service in World War II, to actually go outside. And like you said, you know, I've seen, you know, there's a whole new other world out there. And maybe had he not had that experience, he would have just followed that same cycle.
And back to Beverly D'Angelo, even before Coal Miner's Daughter, when she had started acting, she had made her Broadway and television debuts both in 1976. On Broadway, she was in Rockabye Hamlet, a musical about the life of Hamlet. Sadly, lost to time. I'd never even heard of it till I was reading a little bit more about Beverly's life and career. And then she also, on television, debuted in episodes of Captains and the Kings, all in 1976. So she was really already establishing herself as a stage and screen actress, when I think this role in Coal Miner's Daughter
yes.
really elevated her, not only because of the Golden Globe nomination, but it's a pretty incredible performance.
It is incredible, and it's not really a long part in the film. I mean, she comes in, I think, probably well into the film, not early in the thing. Loretta has now first hit record. She's joined the Grand Ole Opry, and she first meets Patsy Cline because she's singing at the Ernest Tubbs Record Shop, which I visited, which is great. You ever get a chance to go to Nashville, by the way. And she dedicates Patsy's song, I Fall to Pieces, because Patsy has been injured
in a car accident.
Seriously, in a car accident.
Yes.
So Patsy hears her and calls her over.
And sends her husband to get her, which the one thing, I was watching that part of the film, and I was like, so this man just shows up outside record store and says, I'm Patsy Cline's husband and she wants to meet you. Will you come to the hospital with me? And she gets in the car with him and goes. And I'm like, who yeah. would do that today?
Yeah.
Wow. He could have been anyone.
Yes.
She goes, it turned out to be true. And that is how they met. And I think you can see in Beverly's portrayal how much she loved Loretta and what she represented and really wanted to be her mentor to bring her career
And Patsy Cline was known as a tough girl. She was no pushover. She had had, and I think she really saw Loretta as somebody that she needed somebody to take her under their wing, other than Doolittle.
Right.
And as you see, there's kind of that tension and conflict between the two of them. Because of Patsy Cline, now Loretta starts wearing makeup, which Doolittle hates.
Yes. And you also see, I mean, especially as women in a very male-dominated industry, even though they may be outperforming, the radio stations and the record companies are controlled by men. And I think Patsy was at the beginning of being a real trailblazer and setting her own course. And so she brings Loretta under her wing as a woman. In addition to wearing the makeup, you see the conversations that they have and how Patsy's really trying to bring her along. And I thought Beverly did a wonderful job, like Sissy, who worked with Loretta Lynn mm-hmm. on getting her voice down and learning how to play guitar like her and spent a lot of time with Loretta Lynn. Beverly didn't have that because Patsy is killed in the plane crash, which is also portrayed in the film. But she did go to Nashville. She did study with the Jordanaires and other people who played with Patsy Cline and really worked to capture her voice. And both Beverly and Sissy do an incredible job of not necessarily mimicking, but I think capturing the essence of their voice and their tonal quality.
Yes.
And it's even credited on the film, which normally wasn't done, but it very clearly says in one of the first credits at the end of the film that Sissy Spacek and Beverly Angelo
yes.
sang the songs that you hear
yes.
them singing in the film. And the album actually went on to be recognized as well. The soundtrack won the Country Music Association Award for Album of the Year in 1980, and it was the first movie soundtrack to do so, and the only other one since then. It was in 2001, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh!
So, rare company to get that type of recognition from the CMA. And Sissy Spacek actually earned a Grammy Award nomination for Best Female Country
Excellent.
Vocal Performance.
Well, you know what I was going to say? Sweet Dreams.
But
in that film, and I like Coal Miner's Daughter better than Sweet Dreams, Beverly D'Angelo was better as Patsy Cline
than Jessica Lange
yes.
in Sweet Dreams. And Jessica Lange actually did not sing
the songs.
No, she
did actually mimic to the recording.
Yes.
So
you actually hear Patsy Cline
yes.
in Sweet Dreams. But we're so fortunate that we get to hear Beverly D'Angelo and Sissy
yes.
Spacek in a film that does stand the test of time because of their performances, specifically Sissy Spacek, who rightfully was recognized for her role. And the legacy of Loretta Lynn continues.
Yes.
Loretta Lynn passed away at age 90 in 2022. Her husband, Dew, who we come to know in the film, passed away in 1996. But the Coal Miner Daughter story, last year it was announced that two-time Tony winner Sutton Foster would portray Loretta Lynn in a Broadway musical version of A Coal Miner's Daughter. based on both the 1976 book and the 1980 mm-hmm. movie. The latest I could find out is it's still in active development, has a director, the Lynn children are consulting on it, but no venue and no premiere date has been set yet. But the story continues.
Well, that is good. And one of the things that I don't know, we mentioned it again, was why Loretta Lynn picked Sissy Spacek to play the role. And I actually watched last night a clip of Sissy Spacek winning the Oscars. And she thanks Loretta Lynn, who is in the audience with Doolittle next door and stuff.
Well, despite their troubled marriage, they lasted. There was a love there that lasted despite all the troubles we see portrayed in the film. And interestingly, you mentioned that Loretta Lynn picked Sissy Spacek for the role. She actually picked her out of a stack of headshots.
Uh-huh.
She had never met her. She hadn't seen any of her films. But something about that photo captured her imagination as to that's who's going to play me. And Sissy Spacek verifies that in her own memoir in 2012 called My Extraordinary Ordinary Life. So David, A Coal Miner's Daughter, what do you recommend to our Double Take audience?
To our Double Take audience, I was a star system. It's a 4 stars in my book. I'm a great film for anybody who loves a really heart-tugging and dramatic story. This is it. Even if you're not a fan of country music, but if you are, you're in for an extra special treat. Performances on both acting and singing of Sissy Spacek and Beverly D'Angelo, and the wonderful performance of Tommy Lee Jones as Doolittle, a great thing. I can't recommend this film highly enough.
Well, I would agree. And then this age of CGI and high definition, you may be a little shocked if you take the time to see the film at how grainy film almost appears. But I will say, given that it takes place back in the 30s and 40s and in coal mining country, to me, it actually added to the period nature of the piece. And so it is definitely a throwback, but it's a classic for a reason.
I would say you mentioned that in tune. I think I never noticed that before, but it does. It has that kind of, I don't know if they did things special with the photography or anything, but it has that look and everything. I mean, you would imagine a film of coal dust hanging over.
They had to keep cleaning the camera lens to get the coal
dust
off.
Hanging over that area. So
thank you again for joining me for A Coal Miner's Daughter.
My pleasure.
And Ohio Goes to the Movies.